Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Great.
Hey.
Yeah, it's kind of, we're not even quite to winter yet. We're already kind of getting the winter blues, huh? But yes, the celebration of the birth of the Christ child is just around the corner. Here we are on the third Sunday of Advent already. And every year here at Neighbors of Hope, we do an Advent study for the 4 weeks of Advent. And we're kind of coming towards the end of it. I think we're about two-thirds of the way through. And we've been talking a lot about understanding these Matthew and Luke's infancy narratives, what we've come to call parabolic overtures. Parables meaning that they are stories that have profound meaning. All right. Overtures meaning that they're miniatures of what Matthew and Luke's Gospels respectfully will be. Based upon it. So everything that you find in their infancy narratives, you're going to find them elaborating on throughout the rest of their Gospel. All right. So for our listening audience, just to kind of give you an example of something like that. If we were to look at Matthew's infancy narrative, Matthew, Christologically speaking, sees Jesus as the new Moses. We know Matthew's gospel is set up in five discourses, just like the five books of Moses. We know in Matthew's infancy narrative, his Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, there are several uses of five. There are five prophecies. There are five dreams. Five times he refers to Jesus as Messiah. Five times he refers to Bethlehem. Five common there. The story of how Jesus is conceived. The story of Jesus fleeing from Herod into Egypt, much like Moses fleeing from the slaughter of Pharaoh. All right, there's a lot of commonalities. Okay. Today, all right, we've looked at all kinds of things thus far, but today we want to focus on the announcement, the annunciation, all right, to the shepherds. All right, so if I could have someone read from Luke's Gospel, let's just begin at verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8 through 14.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that, Mark. Okay. Initial feedback, comments, questions. What's your first response here? What jumps out at you?
For me, it's not accept this or that. You know, they just came to talk to him. But for me, it's like, I'm already accepted. When it says all, I feel included. It feels like something, not that I'm forced to do that, it's not an obligation, but it's just like, here it is, you know, it's like, I don't know. I've always found it a comforting thing, you know. In a world where, like, through our lives, we're excluded a lot with certain things and left out, here's something where, you know, you belong to, you know, through this.
Okay. Yeah. You know, we like to call ourselves ragamuffins, right? Our cheese is falling off our cracker. We don't have it all together. Our own lives have been pretty messy. But if you really pay close attention to this Christmas story, here, particularly even here in Luke, this birth narrative is pretty messy. It's pretty messy. It's almost as if it's so messy that the reason God sends the Christ child is to launch his divine great cleanup. And we think about how he's cleaned up our lives. Mm-hmm. Which means the activity that's taking place in the birth narrative is an ongoing activity even in our personal lives. Right? And it is offered to all people. Yeah, so you look like you're very eager to share with us. All right, right, Mark.
I like about the Luke Gospel is how this kind of sets this up as the, you know, like, biblical ragamuffin gospel.
Okay.
Because it's a lot louder event than the narrative in Matthew. Where you got people whispering to kings and sneaking off into Egypt to avoid soldiers and whatnot. But no, God's sending whole armies of angels to sing about it to shepherds who have like no royalty about them whatsoever. So this is kind of like almost like a party.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I like that.
Where this all-inclusive gospel is being set up here, and that's what I like.
And why do you think that'd be so? I mean, think, you know, I like your analogy of a party. Yeah, I said here before, it's almost as if the angels show up to the shepherd and say, look it, we've been up there hanging out with the Father for a long time. As a matter of fact, nearly forever. And we've watched him do a lot of things. But he has never done anything like this. And we are so super excited about this. We couldn't stand it any longer. We're down here to let you all know something major is about to kick off. Mm-hmm. And here's a sign, right? You were talking about earlier before we went on there, Eric, something so kind of fragile that needs to be nurtured. The sign, this little baby, you know, swaddled in, right? Wrapped in swaddling clothes in the trough of a cow. This is the big thing. I'm like, what? Seriously? Yeah, but they are. They're super excited. Mm-hmm. Super excited. Begs a question. Do we get that excited? Or will we turn Christmas into kind of a somber moment and enthusiasm is the Christmas tree and what's underneath it on the morning?
I think the kids get the real spirit of this holiday.
And rightly so. All right? For kids.
Just for the reasons we would naturally...
That starts reminding me of Tim Allen and Santa Claus, right? You know, I see it, but I don't believe it. And the little elf says to him, Judy, the little elf, right, says to him, well, that's, you know, that happens to most adults when they grow up. They stop believing. But believing isn't seeing. Seeing is believing. Or no, seeing's not believing. Believing is seeing. All right? I mean, just because we grow up and we start learning a little more rational understanding of things of the world shouldn't alter this. Right. So maybe Advent provides an opportunity to reclaim that joy, that party spirit you got going on there. So, all right, anybody else?
Yeah, I think to go back to that kind of baby symbolism that's put in here. I don't know. It hit me different this morning reading this, where that's the kingdom of God. That's this whole upside down principle that Jesus starts to teach us. That whole way, you know, later on a grown man will tell us, well, you heard it said before, but now I come to tell you. This whole reverse way that he takes how the world was before you met him and flips it 180 degrees from how the world is after you meet him. Case in point, hey, there's this really big, you know heaven that's been forever? It's now pinpointed down and touching and joining us on earth in the form of a baby. In a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths or whatever little Christmas-y stuff that we put on it, and to stop for a second and think, you know what, this is amazing, this is birth, this is also fragile, this is also, you know, I mean, this will later, you know, this child will later raise people from the dead, raise us from our own death.
Yeah, as I like to say, this child will wreck our lives in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Only can I have a quick friend?
Yeah, sure.
Where Eric was saying, and that, like that, you said before, that fragileness It's like God saying, here, change my diapers, feed me. I'm not only including you into this new way, I want to learn to walk like you had to walk. I want to become creation. You know, I'm the creator. You know, I want to skin my knee. I want to feel how it feels to lose a loved one. I want to feel what you feel, ground level, I'm with you. I was always for you, but now here, I'm going to walk your footsteps. So not only is he including us into what he, that's the crazy, trippy thing about it.
And so the peace on earth, really comes. Through a sense, we look at the baby, powerlessness, vulnerability, and dependency. Which is not what we like to think about God. No. We like to think of God as being powerful, you know, all-knowing, all that other stuff, and he's independent. He doesn't really need us. This, as Eric said, this is a 180. This flips it all around to where Paul will later say, this is what makes us co-creators. God's looking for partners in God's cleanup project. Advent then becomes a season where we re-examine our lives. How well am I doing in my partnership with God's great cleanup? Or am I continuing to contribute to the mess? All right? What the angels say, maybe to rephrase it, am I contributing to the peace on earth or not? Yeah. You were going to say something?
Yeah. I think if I was to sit here and look at what's going on in our community, you see we want to call this war on drugs in the general sense, people like throw this term out. But I don't see the military here trying to take care of that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So who is going to take care of that? Because I mean, we have people overdosing all the time. We got people that are hungry. You know, people living in shelters because they have no home to go to. And the thing is that we need to look at what the shepherds had to do. They took and they wanted to celebrate this good news. They left their flock to go forward, to go and see something that they were told is going to be great. They don't know what that looks like. They want to go and see it for themselves. So I think it's our time to let go of our flock, let go of our personal things when it comes to our objects, our maybe our jobs for some people, and actually go help the people.
Reputation.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, Mary and Joseph risk their reputation. I love that. He does. I mean, let's jump into the gospel. He who loses his life finds it. You can't follow me if you're clinging to everything else type thing, right? You got to let go of everything. It's 100%, you know, and Advent does provide us that opportunity to be reflective on how well am I doing with that? Am I still clean and other things? You know, have I abandoned, in a sense, because what the shepherds literally did was abandon their full means of security. Right, that's how they made a living. They let it all go. Now we could presuppose and maybe read into the text that after they saw the baby, they went back and the flock's still there because we're talking about sheep here. I don't think sheep.
They locked the gate.
They took the risk.
Exactly, and it is risky to be powerless. It is risky to be dependent. It is risky to be vulnerable. Right. But guess what? When we take that risk, we look a lot like the one born in swaddling clothes, laid in a cow's trough. All right. And we are going to have to take the risk on pursuing, peace through justice, which the angels are declaring here. All right. So that God's favor falls on all people. Any closing thoughts? Well, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate all of your insights and sharing this morning. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course, our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.